All right, we're starting here on the bottom of Chaf Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. Amar, halacha yi b'nazir v'tuleka. The fact that we said before that there's halacha, the Moshe Mesinai, that when it comes to the ma'ot stumot of the korbanot of a nazir, that we said that they are noflim l'nedava, that they get changed into olot and used for olot on the mizbeach. That's halacha the Moshe Mesinai that Rabbi Yochanan brought. Rish Lakish brought it from Pesukim, but Rabbi Yochanan brought it from halacha the Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara wants to know, is that the unique case or the only case where that is true? Betuleka, and there are no more. V'hatanya, don't we have other instances of this? I mean, the question of betuleka is that you cannot extrapolate halacha the Moshe Mesinai. So if the halacha the Moshe Mesinai is given, then usually it'll be given about anything that relates to that topic, or it'll be all-encompassing in that topic. So you're right, from the perspective of asking from a Nazir, the answer might be halacha the Moshe Mesinai. But the Gemara wants to understand, given that, in this context, if we have similar cases, what is the source for that as well? And the Gemara, in the end, will expand halacha the Moshe Mesinai to incorporate these items as well, because you cannot learn or extrapolate from one halacha the Moshe Mesinai to another, because by definition, it's halacha the Moshe Mesinai, which deals with that specific case. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, what about other instances of this? Batanya, don't have a braita. V'shar chayvei kinin shibetorah. Talking about obligations to bring birds as a korbanot. Shefrishu ma'ot likineihem. Someone already separated out the money to pay for those birds. Ratza lavi behen chatat beima yavi. Olat beima yavi. If they want to replace them and use those monies to bring a chatat from an animal or an olah from an animal, yavi, you have that choice. Mate, if the person passes away, vayulo ma'ot stumim, and the monies were undefined, yiplu l'nidava. So a similar type of case where you have ma'ot stumim that end up going l'nidava, end up going to the olah. Now, the case here, the case of kinim, in general, is where you have a chatat and an olah that come from ofot. Now, in a general case of chatat and olot that come from ofot, you would not say that you're able to upgrade them to a korban behema, because that's not an option. So, for instance, by a zav and a zavah, where those are the korbanot of a zav and a zavah, and there's no alternative, then if they bring birds, you can't say that we're going to upgrade the monies to an olat behema or a chatat behema. It's not relevant. And then you can see in the Mefarish at the bottom of the previous Amud that the case we're talking about here are cases of olev yored. These are korbanot where the korban is determined by the economic standing of the individual bringing the korban. So for instance, a korban yoledet, a woman who gives birth, she has the right, depending on her economic standing, to either bring two birds, one for chatat, one for olah, or to bring one bird and one behema, bring the olah as a behema, and the bird as a chatat for a person who is wealthier. That is true of other korbanot that are known as the korbanot olev yored, which come up in certain circumstances, the four circumstances that are mentioned at the end of Parshat Vayikra. So in those instances, the Breita was talking about, you have monies that were delineated or designated for these ofot, and then the person became more well off. Their wealth increased, and now they want to use those monies towards an animal. So what they're allowed to do is use these monies to pay for a chatat, or use these monies to pay for an olah, pay for a behema. And the Rosh over here says, actually, the question is like a lo mi boi kamar. It says, v'lo mi boi, shim yutzil avi b'chol ha-ma'ot chata'ot ha'of, olah ha'of. You want to take all this money and use it either towards a chatat ha'of or olah ha'of, that he's allowed to do that. Ela afilu behema yachol avi behem. You can even upgrade it to a behemai im heshir. And that's the chiddush of the ma'ot stumot over here, of this braita, that the undefined money is so undefined that not only can you use it towards a chatat over a lato, but you can even use it towards a chatat behema or lat behema if the person became wealthier in the interim. Now, if they do not define the monies, if the person passes away and they're not defined, then they go to nidava. And from that, that's our question over here. Why is this not included in this halacha the Moshe Mesinai? And the answer to the Gemara is, Tana Nazir v'chayve kinin d'damule. That when the halacha the Moshe Sinai was said about a Nazir, as well as chayvei kinim, because they are similar to it. Now, whether explicitly that's what was said in the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, which is the way that Tosfot reads it, v'yesh mefarshim d'halacha kach nishneit nazir v'chol d'domi lei. That is the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, a nazir, and anything that is similar to it. The halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim includes that catch-all phrase of anything similar to a nazir. Right? Anybody who has this option where they're bringing multiple korbanot and you're designating money towards those korbanot, you have it by a mitzora as well, where there are three different levels of korbanot that can be brought. Anytime that you have a chiyuv of multiple korbanot that derives from a single point or single obligation, that would be a b'chol d'domi lei. And that's what Tosfot says over here. Vim tomar b'mai domi l'nazir. What is it similar to nazir? Shemivin al davar echad shnei korbanot. For one, whether it's a violation or one obligation, one brings multiple korbanot, this would be the halacha, that if you have ma'ot stumim, they end up going le nedava. That's one way to explain the halacha, the Moshe Mitzrayim, which is the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, says nazir b'chol d'domi lei. Others suggest that it's explicit that the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim says that nazir and kinim, the kinim that have a similar trait to the halacha of the Moshe Mitzrayim by nazir, but it's stated explicitly, as opposed to Tosafot, who says the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim has this catch-all phrase in it. Rather, there is a statement of the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, was it's by nazir, it's by kinim. The Mefaresh has a very interesting approach here, and he says that it's anything that is connected to nazir. Called the domilei are korbanot that have a similar typology to that of the nazir. Where do you have this by the nazir? He points out that the nazir tameh brings birds, brings a chatat and an olah for his tahara process, and then brings an animal for the asham. So there, if you have the mot stumot, and there you have a case of birds, so then birds are similar to that case of nazir. And what it means is that the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim was said by nazir, and anything that is similar to nazir means anybody who has birds that are similar to this, we have a chatat and an olah that come together. And that's how he extrapolates from the halacha of Moshe Sinai to other cases. So you have these three different approaches to what the halacha of Moshe Sinai is exactly based on this. And then the Gemara says, Ula fuke meha d'tanyo. This comes to exclude this type of case. Now, as opposed to normally in Shas, when you say la fuke meha d'tanyo, would be that the brayta that you're about to bring has an opposing position. That there's a position, the brayta does not accord with whatever we just said now. Over here, it seems more like that they subscribed to what the brayta says, and the brayta gives a case where the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim would not be applicable. Not that it argues on what we're saying, but rather it gives an example of a case where the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim would not be applicable. Now then, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here that the brayta, or the author of this brayta, the Tana, is arguing fundamentally on this concept of ma'ot stumot, that they go l'nidava. And that's why the Gemara brings it in this terminology, la fuke mehai d'tanya, to exclude this Tana or this brayta, because this Tana, not only in the case that we quote here, but fundamentally believes that this statement or this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is incorrect. And that is the Tanya. We have a Tosefta that says, Mi sheya mechuyav chatat, person was obligated to bring a chatat, v'amar hare alai ola. And then he obligates himself in an ola through a neder, v'frish ma'ot, and then separates out monies to pay for these obligations. V'amar v'hare elu l'chovati, those are for my obligations. De'atza lavi ben chatat be'ema lo yavi, olat be'ema lo yavi. If he wants to bring a chatat, he cannot. If he wants to bring an olah, he cannot. Mate, if he passes away, hayu lo ma'ot stumim, and the money is undefined, yachul the Yam HaMelech. They go to Yam HaMelech. So here, seemingly, if we were to explain the brayta as not being in opposition to what we said before, but rather a case where it does not apply, the difference in this case versus the case that we have where the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim applies is where the obligation derives from. In the case of Nazir, the obligation generates the chiyuv for all of those behemoth, the multiple korbanot derived from that single obligation. Over here, he generated the second obligation. He was already chayav achatat. He generated the second obligation through an olah. And therefore, these maot stumot are different than the maot stumot of the nazir, and they're not subject to the locha l'moshe misinai. And therefore, when he separates out the monies, he can't designate them for the olah because he already is obligated in a chatat. Can't designate them for the chatat because he is obligated in a olah. So we don't know what these monies are for. And because of that, he can't utilize them because they have equal probability of being for his olah or his chatat. And if they are stumot, they're not subject to the halacha of Moshe Misinai. And therefore, yochul liyam hamelach. Now, in terms of yochul liyam hamelach, the way that the Mefarish explains it is that all the money goes to the Yam HaMelech because of the fact that we can't differentiate. Other Rishonim suggest that you separate out a portion of it for the Chatat, and then the remainder you can use for Olat Nidava. You can actually segregate the monies. And also, before, when we say that you can't utilize the money for the Chatat and the Olah, what you would end up doing is bringing two behemot, one olah and one chatat, and say, whatever monies in this pool are for the chatat, they go on the behemat chatat, and whatever monies that are for the olah will go on the behemat olah, and then you could redeem the monies and take them away. But the way that the Braita is written, it shows you that these ma'ot stumot do not get this din of all going all the olat nedava, but rather the chatat that is mixed in this money now has impact. So that was your question before. What happened with the chatat money? Over here, it's impacting. And it ruins the money or the pool of money because it's not subject to the lacha l'moshe misinai. Again, according to most of the Mefarshim, simply this is a case that doesn't fit into the case of the lacha l'moshe misinai. According to Rabbeinu Tam, this is a fundamental machloka. This Tana believes that when you have manot stumot, you can't just say, okay, everything goes with nedava, the chatat impacts. Because the chatat impacts, you cannot then just bring them all the olat nedava. The Mefarish over here brings the second interpretation, which is interesting. He says that it's a case where a woman was chayevet achatat because she was a yoledet ashira. And a yoledet ashira brings a chatat an oaf plus an olat beima. And then separately, she says, harei alai olat oaf. And then she makes herself chayevet in that olat oaf. Then she separates out the money, the chovatai, for my obligations. Then, if she wants to take that money and then add on to it to bring her a chatat be'ema, she can't do that because she's not chayevet a chatat be'ema. She's only chayevet an oof for a chatat. And if she wants to bring an olat be'ema with these monies, she can't do that because she only took a neder to bring an olat oof. So then, if she passes away, then these ma'ot stumot will go l'yam hamelach because we don't know what they were going to be used for. Maybe they were all used for the chatat, or maybe they were all for the olah, and since you have a separate chatat of and olah of, therefore each one of these items, which is separate, are considered to be mifurashtam. It's as if she explicitly stated them. Since they're explicitly, as if explicitly stated, when they're mixed together, then they all go to the Yam HaMelech. Alright, so Amar Rav Ashi, V'hadamart mefurashim lo, that this halacha l'moshe misinai does not apply to monies where you explicitly state what the purpose of the monies is. Lo teima damar elu lechatati, ve'elu lelati, ve'elu leshalmi. Don't say that it's a case where he specifies this money for this, this money for this, this money for this, which is really explicit. Ela afilo mar elu lechatati ulu lati leshalmi, mefurashim he. Even if you take a pile of money and say that this money here is for my chatat, olah, and shlamim, that is deemed to be mifurashim. Even though they're in a single pile now, and the meaning of your words are basically that you're going to split it up into thirds. One third for an olah chatat, one third for an olah, one third for a chatat, they're still deemed to be mifurashim. So what Rav Ashi suggests over here, it's not mifurash when you segregate the money, but as long as you specify the purpose of the money, that's enough to be called mifurashim. Stumot is where there's no definition given to the monies. And you say, elu l'chovati. These are for my obligation. That would be ma'ot stumot. But as soon as you specify the nature of the obligation, chatat, olah, shlamim, that's already considered to be mifurashim. V'ikadamer, and there's some to say that go even further. Amar Ravashi, lo teima adamar ilu l'chatati ulo l'ti u'lishalmi. That's called mifresh. Ela afilu amar ilu l'chovati. These are for my obligations or the chovotai. Harein ki mifreshim. It's if it's explicit. When you say chovati, it's as if you separately define the chatat. And then the money's got mixed up together. And that's why it's considered to be like they are mefureshim. So then what's the case? Where is tumot? What's considered to be ma'ot tumot now? So you have a couple of options. One possibility is you say nothing. That you segregate out the monies for the korbanot without saying anything. So that's a little more difficult, right? The mefuresh says that in this case. The problem with that is that v'lo yotzi b'shpatav klum, he says nothing. How do you know that they're segregated from the korbanot? So you have to say that he tells us that that's what he had in mind, that he segregated these for his korbanot, but he doesn't say anything at the time that he segregates the money. That's one possibility. The other possibilities by the Tosfot the Rosh are when you say elu l'karbanotai, or you say elu l'nizirutai. This is for my nizirut, this is for my korbanot. Over there, it would work as tumot. The word chuva is specifically associated with a chatat, because a chatat in general is the korban of a chuva. There's no chatat that comes as a korban nidava. So when you say elu de chuvati, it has specific meaning towards the chatat or defining the chatat. And that's why the words chuvatai or chuvati have an additional problem with them in terms of being mefurashin because of the fact that chuva and chatat come together as a package. A shlamim and an olah don't have to be a chova. Yeah, it's clearly referring to all of these items here, but why would a v'ashi consider to be mifurash over here as opposed to other cases when you say karbonotai or niziruti? So that's considered to be mifurashim. Now, what you have to do with them with the terms of mifurashim, the mifuresh is harihin mifurashim v'ashar lo yiplun nidava. According to the mifuresh, harihin mifurashim means that a third of it you segregate out the chatat, and that goes to Yam HaMelech. And the remaining two-thirds you split evenly and bring half of them for an olah, and half of them for a shlamim. Whereas according to most of the Rishonim, Harayahink and Mufurashim means that it's the same as Mufurashim, where the Mei Chatat is mixed up inside of them, and all the monies would go to Yam HaMelech, because it's like a terovet of monies that were once defined and then got mixed together, where the entire Tarovit would go to the Yam HaMelech. All right, now, Amar Rava, Hadamran, Ma'ot Stumim Yiplu L'Nidava, in the case where we say that these Ma'ot Stumot go L'Nidava, Im Nafla Dmei Chatat Mibeinehem, if the Dmei Chatat fell away from them, now what it means, Im Nafla Mehem, the Mefarech says over here, Im Nevad, O Nifrad K'Shi'ur Dmei Chatat Mibeinehem, if a portion of the money was lost, or separated out the amount that would be relevant for the chatat, then we're going to assume that those monies were the dmei chatat, and now what you're left with in the pile is an olah and shlamim. This is your question, David. What happens when you have a pile that's just olah and shlamim? And that's the Mefarash's explanation of it. The others suggest, like the Rosh says over here, Damarava nifla dmei chatat v'neim kukon damar ilu l'chatati. He defines the portion which belongs to his chatat. Mefarej talks about it literally like nafla, that it fell away, that he lost some of the money, or that some of the money got separated away that was good enough for Dmei Chatat. We just assume that that is the Dmei Chatat. The Rosh talks about much more of an intention to separate away the Dmei Chatat, but somehow he has the Dmei Chatat separated away from this grouping of money, this pile of money. Now what's left for this pile of money to pay for is an olah and a shlamim, both of which are fine korbanot, and they don't have any issue. Then, harehen ki mufurashim. Rava says they become like mufurashim now, and that means that you would divide those monies evenly. Half of them would go towards an olah, and half of them would go towards the shnamim. They no longer are noflim l'nidava. That's because this halacha l'moshe misinai, Tosfot says it over here, he said it earlier. We saw that Tosfot says that it's only when there's monies of chatat mixed in, does the halacha l'moshe misinai apply. Without monies of a chatat mixed in, there is no halacha l'moshe misinai. Then the monies take on the properties evenly of the korbanot that need to be brought. And this halacha of the chatat being mixed up is what generates the halacha l'moshe misinai of Nidavah, seemingly even Reish Lakish, who learns it out of the Pasuk, rather than Halacha Moshe Misinai, would also be in agreement here. It's only when there's Chatat Mu'ravot, the monies of Chatat that are mixed up in the Mahot Stumot, that the din of the Chol Nidraham and the Chol Nidvotam would be relevant. But if there's no Chatat mixed up, he would agree with this din over here, that it would be as if they are Mefurashin, and you split it up between the Shlamim and the Olam. Tanya Kavoti Derovo. We have a Braita that supports Rava's contention over here. Elu lechatati, bashar, bashar niziro ti. That this is for my chatat, and the remaining monies are for whatever else I need to bring for my nizirut. Demei chatat, yochulu yam ha-melech. The monies that were segregated for the chatat go to yam ha-melech. Bashar, the remaining money, which is pooled money between Olah Shlamim, yavi chatzio le-olah, v'chatzio le-shlamim. Half of it will be used for an Olah, half of it will be used for Eishlamim. So that's what he says, the remainder is for my Nizirutei. It's as if he said the remainder is for my Korbanot of my Nizirut. Since they are for the Korbanot of my Nizirut, it splits between Olah Shlamim. Because otherwise, if it's not as if he said Korbanot Nizirutei, remember Tosfot already told us that if you just segregate money, you can use it all for the Shlamim, all for the Olah, whatever you choose to use it for. The only way it gets defined is if you specify that the monies are going to be used for the Korbanot. So over here, when he takes out the Chatat money and says that the remaining money is for my Niziruti, means Korbanot Niziruti. And that's why half goes to the Olah, half goes to the Shlamim. Mo'elim bikulan, if you are Mo'el in all the money, meaning you misappropriate the entirety of the pile of money, then there's Me'ilah. Vein Mo'elim b'miksatan. But you are not Mo'el in a portion of them. That is because with regards to the monies for an Olah, monies for an Olah are subject to Me'ilah, because Olah is subject to Me'ilah immediately. On the other hand, Shlamim is only subject to Me'ilah after Zrikat Adam, after the Dam's Puram is back. Before that, it's not subject to Me'ilah. So half the money is subject to Me'ilah, the other half is not subject to Me'ilah. So therefore, if you use a portion of the money, we're not certain that you violated Me'ilah, because we'll just assume that you used the portion that was assigned or associated with the Shlamim. On the other hand, if you use all the money, then we are certain that you were Mo'el because you moved into a pile of money that has Olah mixed in with it, and therefore there is Mi'ilah. Tosafot over here points out that it does not have to be all of the money, it just has to be Rov. You just have to cross over 50% of the money by a Pruta, and then you're ready Mo'el because at that point you definitely entered into the monies of the Olah. So when we say Kulan over here, it doesn't literally mean Kulan, it rather means more than half of it. Whereas when you have a portion of it, then there is no Mi'ilah. If he says, Elu l'olati, he says, this money is going to be used for the Olah. So Bashar, the Shar Nizirotti, and the remaining money will be for the other Korbanot that I have to bring. The Me Olah Yavi Olah, the monies that were segregated out for an Olah will be brought as an Olah. U Mo'alim Bahen, and there's Mi'ilah in them because they are monies for an Olah. Olah is subject to Mi'ilah. Bashar Yiplu L'Nidava. The remaining money now is a mix between a chatat and a shlamim. It's undefined money that is supposed to be used to purchase a chatat and a shlamim, the remaining two korbanot of the nazir. So here, since the chatat is mixed in with the money in the second case, it's subject to the halacha l'moshe misinai, and therefore all the monies will yiplu the nidava. In the first case, where there is no chatat mixed in the money, it's olah and shlamim, over there, the monies will be split between an olah and a shlamim. And mo'alin b'kulan, vein mo'alin b'miksatan. Once again, because you have a shlamim mixed in there, if you are mo'el, then if all the money you utilized, or according to the Tosafot, rov of the money that you utilize over here, then you'll be subject to mi'ilah, because you now have a mix between a chatat and a shlamim. Once you cross over into the monies of the chatat, then you definitely have misappropriated monies that are subject to mi'ilah. On the other hand, if you only take a portion of the money, then you're not necessarily subject to Me'ilah, because you might have taken the portion that was relevant to the Shlamim. And since it was relevant to the Shlamim, it's not subject to Me'ilah, you will not be Chayav for Me'ilah in that case. Now, the Balei HaTosafot suggests over here that the case here where the person had passed away, and the monies were left over, and then based on that, the monies that are left over, what do we do with these monies? And that's the question at hand. On the other hand, according to the Mifaresh and others over here, the person is still around. The Mifaresh over here asks a question on this Braita from our Mishnah that we said before, that when it comes to Demei Chatat, when it comes to the monies of a Chatat, the Mishnah said, Lo Ne'anim Velo Mo'alim. You're not allowed to get hanah from them. But on the other hand, you're not moel on them. There's no din of milah, which implies that there's only a din milah midrabanan. The rabbanan said don't get benefit from them, but if you do get benefit from them, then you're only in violation of a din dirabanan, not a din deoraita. That's what the Mishnah said with regards to the dmei chatat, lo nehenin velo moalim. So why over here are bright to say that if you have a mixture between shlamim and a chatat, that if you utilize the money, all the money, or a robe of the money, then you would be subject to mi'ilah. Why would you be subject to mi'ilah? Shlamim doesn't have a din of mi'ilah, and neither does a chatat. A chatat also doesn't have mi'ilah associated with it. It only has lo ne'nin v'lo ma'alim, which means there's only mi'ilah derabonan. So why is the bright over here telling us that you are subject to mi'ilah over here? So the Mifaresh asks the question and suggests the following. He says, "V'had amrinan d'mei chatat lo ne'anim v'lo malim lo kasha da'a d'tani matnitin." Our Mishnah that says this lo ne'anim v'lo malim d'mei chatat mishum d'meit, because the owner passed away. Ve'ein ruim la'akrava, and they're no longer valid for akrava. Aval ki lo meit, when he doesn't die, mo'alin b'damim. Then you are mo'al damim sharei ru'uim la'akrava. They are still ra'ui la'akrava. And since they are still ra'ui la'akrava, they are subject to mi'ilah. Now, that is according to, again, the Mifaresh's view of this braita, that the individual here is still alive. And that's why the din might be different. According to the Balei HaTosafot, who suggests that the person passed away after these events, and that's why the monies are falling in the dava, then this is much harder to explain why over here you're subject to mi'ilah. So you can see over here, so Tosa bring viksha ram dilama lo yimalu afilu b'miksat. Why don't you have mi'ilah even with a portion of these? Kevin din oflim kulan in the dava. They all end up as in dava. Dainu olat keitza mizbeach. That ends up on the mizbeach as extra olot. B'tzarech lamar da'ad shata krava shemakrivod olah lo nafik m'shem shlamim shayu aleim adena. That transition to becoming olah from the shlamim or the chatat only happens at the moment of hakrava. But prior to that time, it does not happen. Now, as opposed to that, the Groh seems to have an alternate girsa, which basically addresses this issue of the Tosafot and basically says, yes, sein hachanami, that you would be moel in them because they are ipul nidava, they are going to become olot, and olot are subject to mi'ilah. So it says over here, vashar ipul nidava, and then umoalin behen. Instead of saying mo'alin b'kulan, rather, the Groh changes the girsa, u'mo'alin bahen. Rather than when you say mo'alin b'kulan, it's mo'alin bahen, because now the monies has been transferred to be used for a nidava. And since they are transferred to be used for a nidava, then they become now like olot. And since they're the olot, olah is subject to mi'ilah. And so what the Groh says in the change in the girsa is that umu'alin behen, that's it. You have mi'ilah by these monies now because these monies are all going to be used towards an olah. It says now they're going to all be used towards an olah. That's why there's mi'ilah over here. But not because the origins of this money are chatat and ishlamim, like the Mifaresh asks. Well, then if that's the case, why is there mi'ilah over here? But rather, once they've already now been determined to go to nidava, and that is because Tosafot believes the person passed away, as soon as the person passed away, they're deemed to be going towards a nidava. That means they're all alot, and that's why the girsa would be mo'alin bahan, period. That there is mi'ilah by them, not by kulan versus miksatan. Versus the mifarashis girsa, which is mo'alin b'kulan v'emolin miksatan, which raises this question as to why the chatat is subject to mi'ilah over here. And that's why the mifarash differentiates between when the person has passed away, where they're never going to be used l'akrava, versus over here, where the person's still alive and they can still be utilized l'akrava. And so because of that, they are subject to mi'ilah, the chatat over here. Otherwise, what you have to say is that the mi'ilah that we're mentioning here is not mi'ilah midoraita, but rather mi'ilah derabanan, which the chatat is subject to. Okay, amravun amrav. Lo shanu elama'ot. That's only true when we're talking about monies. That it's considered to be ma'ot stumot, when you're talking about monies. Seemingly, this is going back on the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that ma'ot stumot fall in the dava. Seemingly, even Reish Lakish, who learns it out of the pasuk rather than halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim, would also be in agreement here Because the Loshanu over here is not going back on the words of Rabbi Yochanan, but rather back on the Mishnah that says this is the din of the Ma'ot Stumot. If that's the case, the Loshanu is going on the Mishnah, then it would be true both of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's positions. So on that, we have a qualification by Rav Huna Marav, that Loshanu El Ma'ot, that's only true by monies. Aval Beima, Hari Kimifureshet. He separates out animals, then it is Kimifureshet. The way that the Mefaresh explains it is that he separates out the animals, three animals to be used for his Nizirut. And he doesn't necessarily say, this is my Chatat, this is my Shlamim, this is my Olah, but the Mefaresh explains it, it's obvious which is for which. Because the Chatat comes as an Ikeba, whereas the Shlamim and the Olah are Zicharim. Now it's true that the Shlamim could also be, normally, be an Ikeba, but by Nazir, the Shalmei Nazir is an ayil. It's brought as an ayil that is 2 years old. And therefore also you'll know a difference between an Ola and the Shlamim, because the Ola will be younger, and the Shlamim, which is Zachar, will be older. So basically what the Mefaresh says is, even though you never defined which animals for which Korban, if I'm looking at the animals, I'd be able to intuit which one is for which Korban based on the gender, the age, and the nature of the Behemah. So that's the way the Mefaresh explains it. And the Balei Tosafot and the Rosh don't like this interpretation of the Mefaresh, because as the Rosh says over here, Tim ken hechi bai rav shimi ba'ashe leflugei baha, ol remember the behema lo habia mefureshet, da milta de pshitahi, that if it's obvious that he separates out three behemot, which are likely to be the chatat, the ola, and the shlamim, based on their gender and their age, and the nature of the animal that's brought, it's so obvious that those are mefurashin, and therefore you wouldn't need the Gemara, first of all, to tell you that, and number two is, how could anybody argue on that point? Others explain that mefureshet, that the case here, where he separates out the animals, is where he separated the animals that are not the right animals for this korbanot. He separated, there are many times, there's some here, he separated like three cows to use. So three cows cannot be used for the korbanot over here. And so, what seemingly would happen is you have to sell these animals, and use the proceeds for paying for the korbanot. And that should make them no different than ma'ot, which we'll see in a second. You have to explain, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that when you are separating or segregating an animal for your korbanot nizirut, even though they're not the proper animal, if they ra'ui the mizbeach, they attain to dushat haguf. Then they become fully kadosh to the mizbeach. And either you have to use them for a different korban on the mizbeach, or you have to wait till they get a mum, and then exchange their value for usage for your korbanot nizirut. But because of that, he says that over here, when we're talking about behema mefureshet, it's a case where he segregated out three animals that are ra'ui the mizbeach, and since they take on kedushat haguf, they're not deemed to be like money. Since they become kadosh fully, like kedushat haguf, they don't just get kedushat gamim, which is something that's kadosh for its monetary value, but they have inherent kedushat to them to go on the mizbeach. That's why they're not considered to be ma'ot stumot. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains it. Versus the Mefaresh, who says that you actually took out the korbanot that you needed. You didn't say which was which, but it's obvious from the nature of the korbanot that that's the case. And the Rabbeinu Tam even adds that since these behemot will be around for a while, because you have to wait for them to get a mum, maybe the person will designate one of them for his chatat, and that is our fear over here. And the Rosh even says that reasoning of the Rabbeinu Tam is relevant to Reish Lakish's explanation as to why Ma'ot Stumim Yiplud Nidava, because he brings it from the Pasuk, and it's not subject to the Lakal Moshe Misinai Ma'ot and nothing else. And therefore that reasoning of Shihiyah and the possibility of him making it into a Chatat is relevant for Reish Lakish, whereas the reasoning of Ma'ot and nothing else is really Lashitat Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Alacha the Moshe Misinai. So Amar Rav Nachman, Adam Rei Behemari K'mifureshet. When you say an animal has a din like Mifureshet, whether it's the way the Mifuresh explains it, the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains it, Lo Shanu Elo Tmima. That's only an animal that's Ra'ui to go on the Mizbeach. But Aval Balat Mum Arei Kustuma. That a Balat Mum, an animal that has a Mum in it, it's obvious that the reason that you're Makdish these animals is because you want to use their monetary value towards the korbanot that you're going to bring. Because an animal with a mum in it is only valuable for its monetization, the money that you're going to get from it. So based on that, he says that that's money equivalent, and since the money equivalent, it will be subject to the halacha, the Moshe Misinai. The law of Moshe Mitzrayim only doesn't apply when you have behemot that do not have a momentum that are ra'oi li mizbeach. But if you have animals that are not ra'oi li mizbeach, then they're the equivalent of money. Now again here, the Mefarish says that you separated out three animals that are balei mumim. So even though it's somewhat obvious that you have three animals with a mum in it, that you are trying to then define each animal for one of the korbanot, nevertheless, we still view it as a pile of money. We still view it as a ma'ot stumot. Whereas the Ruach over here says, "Gom gimel parim or parechad," and that he does not differentiate as to whether there are three objects here or one object, as to whether they're deemed to be mifurashin. Avanascha, if you have pieces of metal that are like pieces of gold, pieces of silver, and you take out three of them, look, according to Rav Nachman, that already would be considered to be mifurash. We have three separate pieces of silver, gold, that are not coinage, not money, then that's already considered to be mifurashot. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Afilu Naska. Even Naska is still considered to be something that is the equivalent to ma'ot. Aval, svar shel korot lo. But a pile of boards, pile of beams, that already would be considered to be mifurashot. So again here, the assumption being that you have three piles of boards and each one of them is going to be for one of the korbanot, the monetary value. So that he already considers to be mifurash. Their argument seems to revolve around what is defined as money and what is no longer defined as money but rather as a discrete object. And the question in all these cases is how fast can you monetize this item? Is it considered like money or money equivalent? Is it liquid enough to be that way? Or is there a delay in assessing the value and monetizing the object and finding a buyer, and therefore they're no longer to deem to be money equivalents? Or again, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the issue is the time factor. Not whether it's considered to be money equivalents or not, but any delay in the ability to monetize the object and the need to keep it around leads to the possibility that the person defined one of these objects as a chatat, and that's what our fear is over here. So, we had here that money itself, of course, is subject to halacha Moshe Nisanai, because that was said about money. Then we had the case of balat mum, case of animals that have a mum in them. Are they deemed to be money equivalents, and therefore it's the same din as ma'ot? Or are they discrete objects, and therefore you could say this one's the chatat, this one's the shlamin, this one's the la, now if it's mifurashim. Rav Nachman says, look, bahemat bal mum is the same thing as money. In the end, they have to be sold. They have to be sold, and they have to be monetized, and therefore they're money equivalents. On the other hand, if you separate out a piece of metal, precious metal, whatever it is, gold, silver, that's not money equivalent. That's not ma'ot anymore. That's a discrete object, and therefore, yes, you'll have to sell it to get the value in order to do something with it, but nevertheless, it's not considered to be ma'ot. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, that's still ma'ot, because in silver, gold, that's what coins are minted out of. That's something that you would sell and monetize easily. So what's not considered to be is a pile of boards, a pile of beams. That's already not considered to be ma'ot. That's already considered to be a discrete object. Since it's a discrete object, it's not subject to the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. It's equivalent of ma'ot mifurashot. So amalei Rav Shimi bar Ashi Rapapa. Mai tamayu derabanan. What is the reasoning behind the sheet of the Rabbanan over here? The sheet of Rabbanan means Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Why are they separating between certain objects that they say are subject to halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, certain objects that are not? Damrei ma'ot velo be'ema, velo naska. Because they say the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim was said about money. So what does money come to exclude? So according to Rav Huna, it's ma'ot velo be'ema. According to Rav Nachman, it's ma'ot velo naska. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it's ma'ot velo svara. And not a case, and not a pile of beams. So that's the exclusion. Ma'ot, a question of what is considered to be ma'ot and what is not considered to be ma'ot. That's what they're coming to define. So then the Gemara says, Elameato, if that's the case, ma'ot velo afot, that it should also be the same with regards to birds. You should say that you need money in order to be subject to this halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, not birds. And if you want to suggest that is the case, doesn't Rav Chista tell us, we then say that, yeah, birds are not ma'ot, and therefore they're not subject to the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. What are you going to do with this statement of Rav Chista? Rav Chista says that when it comes to bringing a pair of birds for korbanot in the Mikdash, then when you purchase the birds, you have an opportunity to define which one is an olah, which one's a chatat, or if they're both olot, whatever you want to define these birds as. If you don't do it then you're not allowed to define the birds until the asiyat ha-kohen, until the kohen actually is bringing them on the mizbeach, and then you can define them. You have two points in time where you can define the nature or the character of these birds. If you don't define them then they remain undefined. So for instance, if you're obligated to make a chatat and an olah, and you do not define them when you purchase them, if one of those birds flies away, you just got to bring another bird in, and it will replace the bird that flew away, and you don't have to worry that, wait, which one flew away? Was it a chatat that flew away? Was it an olah that flew away? You don't have to worry about it. So then, amai, why is that the case? Why is that the case where, in the instances where it hasn't been defined by the balim in the beginning, or not by the kohen in the end, I mean, that's the two places where you can do it. In between, they're considered to be stumot. Why are they considered to be stumot? How ma'ot gemirin la? You only learned the halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim with regards to ma'ot, not with regards to other objects. If that's the case, it also should exclude ofot. So tomorrow we'll deal with the answer and we'll speak a little more about this case of kinim. But what the Gemara is, what we're leaving off with here on the bottom of Chavov and Bet is that we now have an halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim, and it might even be true of Reish Lakish's statement with regards to all nidarim get transferred into nidavot, that din is only true by ma'ot. It's only true by ma'ot stumot, when you have undefined monies. And the question is, what's called undefined monies? And each of the Amoraim had different things that were maybe considered ma'ot, not ma'ot. But what is clear from that would seem to be that birds should not be deemed to be ma'ot. If birds are not deemed to be ma'ot, then why are they subject to this halakha l'moshe Mitzrayim, which basically says that they remain stumot, that they have no definition to them, and therefore they can be replaced if one of them flies away, or if the balim pass away, then we can deem them to be stumot, then we can be makriv. One of them the olah, and the other one will be chatat, is the mitah. But why is that the case? Why don't we just say here that ma'ot is the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, and ofot are just not ma'ot? That's the question that we're leaving off here with the Gemara on the bottom of Chavav Amr Bet.